Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed Hey. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem's Baruch Hu, Daf Kuf Lamed Hey, Omer Aleph, at the top of the Omid. Says the Gemara, Hu Da Kava Shachiv, there was a person who was about to pass away, Amrle, and he was asked, Itta Seleman, who will your wife be able to marry? Amalhu, and he said, Le Chazil Kahana Rabba, she could even marry a Kohen Gadol. So, as the Rashbam explains, the Gemara here refers to an individual that we know he has brothers, we know he doesn't have children. So, under normal circumstances, upon his passing, his wife has to have Yibam. But what happened here was, they asked him, would your wife be allowed to marry anyone? Would she not need to have Yibum? And what he is saying is that he gave her a get. And because he gave her a get, so therefore they're divorced. And if they're divorced, there is no problem of Yibum. She wasn't his wife. The Rashbam furthermore says that even though the husband said that she can marry a Kohen, not only did, as we're going to speak about in a moment, say that she may marry a Kohen, he actually said she can marry a Kohen Gadol. It really was an exaggeration, because by saying that she's a grusha, so a grusha may not marry a kohen. So what he meant to say, and what we're saying, what we're learning now, is what is the explanation of his statement, that the explanation of the way we understand his statement, he meant to say with his statement that his wife, that he divorced his wife. So if he divorced his wife, she can't marry a kohen. What he meant to say was that she's divorced and she can marry anyone, but not a kohen. In fact, Rikiv Eger makes an interesting observation. We're speaking here about a shchimeram, and in our Gemara we learned the other day that the halacha is that a shchimera no longer is able to divorce his wife. So why is the halacha that if somebody says, I divorced my wife, as we learned and we'll learn again, because he's neman, he's trusted, because if he wanted, he could have divorced her now, but you can't say that by a shchimera, asks Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, from here we see that even though the shchimera is technically unable to divorce his wife, it doesn't mean he loses the migui of being able to say that my wife is divorced. But the question that the Rashbam does ask is, we're saying that when he said that she could get, that she can marry anyone, is because he divorced her, and actually, as we said a moment ago, that brought with it a question: well, she can't marry a kohen if she's a divorcee. Why don't we say, asked the Rashbam, that what was meant to say was that she could, we have children. And if we have children, so then she doesn't need to have Yibum, and she can marry anyone besides a Kohen Gadol, because then she's not a Grusha, she would be an Amona. So Rashbam says that we're referring to a situation that we know that he has no children. And therefore, to say what he meant to say was that I have children is difficult to say. Taisu says that what he meant to say was that wouldn't be pshat here. Because if that's what I was saying, then the halacha would be he's always believed. Because as we discussed many times, if somebody says Zebni, if somebody says this is my son, Neman. And Taisu obviously is of the opinion that Zebni Neman doesn't just mean when you're pointing to a son, but saying that you have a son is included in the halacha of Zebni Neman, that he's Neman. So if that were the case, there would be no need for this entire halacha that we're speaking about. Then Muki Yosef says that the way we know that he doesn't have children, is by not through Adam, it's because he himself said all the years that he hasn't been able that he doesn't have children. So for him now to turn around and to say he has children would be halachically difficult to accept. And that's why we have to say that when he says that his wife can marry anyone, what he really meant to say was because he has no children. Furthermore, Taisa says that the Gemara, when it takes out the word, says the word Kohen Rabbah, certainly didn't mean a Kohen Gadol. Because even, no matter, anyway, we'll interpret what he means. Even though, as we just finished learning, we don't interpret that he means to say he had children, because of the various reasons we gave, we certainly can't explain that there's never a way to explain that she can marry Kohen Gadol, because even Almana can't marry Kohen Gadol. And therefore, the Taisa says that the word Rabbah should certainly be take it out, or Rabbah means any Kohen, but not the Kohen Gadol. But then, there's a different pshat that the Rashba and Ritva say. What they explained was that Kohen Rabbah, in this context, means that if she were the daughter of a Kohen, and we know that the halacha is that if a Yisrael marries the daughter of a Kohen, and then that marriage ends, if there are no children from the marriage, she could go back to her parents' home, to her father's home, and eat truma. And that's what he meant to say. What he meant to say was that she could go, she'll be able to live in the life, go back to the life of her father's home, and be able to eat truma like she did before they were married. Amar Rava, says the Gemara, what my neichishla? Why would we not accept what he said? Because, says the Gemara, Hamar Rav, haven't we learned in our previous year? Hamar Rav Chivar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan, Baal Sha'amah Gerashdis Ishti, if a husband says, I divorced my wife, Naman, because of the Migui that he could have given her a get. So why in our Gemara would it not be a question? The Achroinim, the Sefer Torah Gittin, says that there would be an interesting nafkamina. If somebody says, Gerashdis Ishti, so we're learning that he's Nema with a Migui, but what would be the halacha if he now wants to take her back as a wife? So he says he couldn't take her back as a wife. Because the moment he said, Gerashdis Ishti, the moment he said, I divorced my wife, What he is saying is that she's a grusha. And if he's saying that she's a grusha, so we have a situation of Shavya Nafshachaticha de Yisura, that she is a grusha as far as his, based on his statement. And a Kohen, if he were a Kohen, would never be able to take her back, even in a case where a husband could take back a wife. Having said that, says the Taurus Gittin, that's only from the husband's side. But what would be from the wife's side? What would be the halacha if this woman would want to marry a Kohen? And she never declared that she's a grusha. So says the Taurus Gittin, there's no Shavya Naf, he doesn't have that ability that if there's no definitive proof that she is a grusha, that she should not be allowed to that she should not be allowed to marry a Kohen, because it's only based on his statement, and she says what he said is not true. Amalei Abaya, asked Abaya, so everything you're saying is based on what Reb Yochanan taught us with this migui. Asked the Gemara, but have we not learned? V'ki asked Reb Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Reb Yochanan, Baal She'ah Amar Grashti, Ein Anamin. So how could you say that he has the halachic ability to make this declaration? Amalei, so Rav responded to Abaya, V'lav mi shaninu, haven't we responded to this question in our previous year? Kal mafreya, v'kal labo. When he says the statement of Grashtis Ishti, the loch is that Neman, he is believed. The only thing is, we believe him moving forward, but we don't believe him going backwards. On that, we don't say that she was a grusha even from before he made the statement. Asks Abaya to Rav Vashnu Nekev and Lismach, we had this difficulty in how to understand what is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Yes, the Gemara offered this teretz. Asked the Gemara, is that a teretz that we should be so confident with and rely on? Be careful, be concerned. This is the way the Rashbam learns the Gemara. Be careful with the concern that Abaye just raised, that how do we know that this teretz that was previously offered should be an acceptable answer, and therefore we can't let this woman get married and under the assumption that she's a grusha. But as Rashbam explains, what that means is we have a suffix. We have a suffix. We don't know, shall we be able to rely and say that he has the migui and therefore trust him or don't trust him, and therefore we treat this as a suffix. And Ritva asked the obvious question. Throughout Shas, we speak about miguis, and throughout Shas, we rely on miguis. Why all of a sudden, in our Shia today, is the Gemara concerned about the reliability of a migui? So the Ritva answers, because usually a get has a kol. People know when couples are divorced. And here there is no kol. And the fact that there is no kol leads us to be concerned, are they really divorced? But the Rabbeinu Gershom has, and therefore this wife, when this man dies without children, will not be able to have Yibum because maybe they were divorced and she's not a sister-in-law. Not only is she not a sister-in-law, given that she's a former sister-in-law, she can't marry any of his brothers. On the other hand, we don't know for sure that that is the case. And maybe they were still married if we're not relying on his statement. And therefore, she'll have to have chalitza. But Rabbeinu Gershom has a very different approach to this Gemara. And Rabbeinu Gershom's approach to Gemara is chushloi. That, of course, the teretz is a wonderful teretz. And if it's a wonderful teretz, we have every right to accept it. Says the Gemara, Hahu, another episode. Hu dava machzalon delasalon achi. Again, there was an individual that we knew always has no brothers. V'amar b'shas misa, and as he was passing away, he confirmed that by saying lesloi achi, by saying that he has no brothers. V'amar b'shas misa lesloi achi. Amar Rav Yosef my lechishlo. So Rav Yosef says, why should we be concerned? Chada, number one, the muchsukla and the lesloi achin. We were always living with this assumption that there are no brothers. Void ham b'shas misa, and it was confirmed at the time of his death that the lesley that he has no children. Amle Abaya ha'amri, but says the Gemara, said Abaya asked Rav Yosef, Amri, there were people in the city keep on saying deika edim medina tziyam, that there are edim on the other side of the world, the yadi, that are able to tell us the Islayachi, that he does have brothers. So how can we just ignore that reality? Says Rabbi Yosef. Hash the mias, halasna, come on. Right now, these Edom aren't here. So why should we be concerned about a rumor that is unsubstantiated? Lav Haina, and he continues, Lav Haina Rav Chanina. Says, isn't this what Rav Chanina taught us in Masechta Ksubis, Daf Chav Gimel Amar Aleph? Damar Chanina, Rav Chanina was asked regarding the daughters of Shmuel. And the Gemara over there mentions that the daughters of Shmuel were kidnapped, and when they came back, they said, Nishbesi, we were indeed kidnapped, B'tahira. And they were allowed to, and based on that, Chazal, the Rab, allowed them to marry even Kahanim. And the Gemara over there of Shimon Bar Abba asks, why were we so lenient? There's a rumor that there are Edom that know that they had relations with their kidnappers. To which Rav Chanina said, Edom b'tzad istan, if there's a rumor that there are Edom on the other side of the world, v'tiyasar, just because there are Edom that there are, just because there's a rumor that there are Edom, why would we be be concerned. Says the Chasam Sofer that when the Gemara over here says that Edom Tzad Istan, just the Edom on the other side of the world, do we need to be concerned? So the Chasam Sofer has a discussion. How far, when the Gemara is saying we don't have to be concerned, is there ever a circumstance, discusses the Chasam Sofer, that we need to be concerned? So he says, if the Edom are just being, if the rumor is that there are Edom on the other side of the world, but Tzad Istan is on the north, but there's no clarity where in the north, or says the Chasam Sofer, or even if they are in a, somewhere, but it's very difficult to get to that place, it's very difficult to be able to make a determination of what is and isn't the case, says the Chasam Sofer, we need not be concerned. But says the Chasam Sofer, in a case where we have much more definitiveness that the Edom are in a certain city, and it's easy to make that to find out what is the case, the halacha requires us to do so. Amlebaya. So we see that just because there's a rumor that there are Edom, we don't have to be concerned. So why are you concerned over here? Amle Abaya. So Abaya says, "Imi kal nebeshvuya." Just because we were makel in that case, nekel beishasish, she would be lenient in our case. We find in the case of a chazaka by a shvuya, a woman that was kidnapped, we are much more lenient, as the Gemara Masechet Ksuba says that you don't have to have two Edom Ksherim. Any people that be able to bring testify that they didn't do anything wrong would be sufficient. Here, we're speaking about an Eishes Ish. So, of course, many Achronim try to understand the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara, that what does it mean we're speaking about an Eishes Ish? She's not an Eishes Ish, she's a Yavama. Her husband died. So why is that called... why is she called an Eishes Ish? So the Pasha Peshan the Gemara is that even though she isn't an Eishes Ish in the sense that if somebody would have relations with her, they would be Chayiv Misa, like someone has relations with an Eishes Ish, but she does start off at the entire Issa that she has starts off because she was an Eishes Ish. Whereas over there, it has nothing to do with the fact that she was once an Eishes Ish. There, the issue was while she was married, while she was kidnapped, what happened. And in fact, says the Rabbi Yosef Engel, that from our Gemara we see that even though the punishment for Yevam L'shuk, having relations, a woman who is supposed to have yibum and goes and lives with a mother person, is this a laugh? Malkus doesn't get Misa, but it says Rabbi Yosef Engel, the Isser is still an Isser Eishes Ish. So therefore, whereas here, where it's a Shvuya, we're much more lenient, and as I saw the Rishonim continue to point out, they say a Shvuya, a woman who Rahman al-Slan kidnapped, certainly doesn't want to have relations with her kidnapper. And because she certainly doesn't want to have relations with her kidnapper, she's going to do whatever she can to prevent that from happening. This woman, on the other hand, knowing that it may be difficult for her to obtain Yibum, will corroborate what her husband's saying, even though it's not true. And that's what makes these two situations so very different. Amalei Ravler of Nassan, Barami Chushlo. And here again, we have the Machloikus Rashbam and Rabbeinu Gershom. Rashbam says, Chushlo, we need to be concerned and not just allow it to live on without Yibum Chalitza. And the Rabbeinu Gershom says, no, it's a legitimate explanation. And if he says it, we believe it. We learned further in the Mishnah. If somebody said, Zeh Achi, this is my brother, this individual is my brother, the halach is Einan Neman, we don't believe what he said. And because we don't believe what he said, if their father, if the father of these individuals passes away, the brother, who we don't know if he really is a brother or not, doesn't get a shear. He only gets a shear with the one who's saying that he is a brother. Says the Gemara, Vidach, let's analyze what is happening here. My Idach, the other brothers, my Kamri, what are they saying? And the Gemara explains, Ikamri, if the other brothers are agreeing that Achunuhu, that he is a brother of theirs, Amai Yitilim Abachalk of Asuloi, what, why should they not also have to share with him if they're agreeing he's a brother? Elo, it must be, this individual is saying that this unknown person is a brother, and the other brothers are saying, Lavachinuhu, he's not a brother, and therefore he doesn't deserve a share in the Yerusha of our father. Says the Gemara, if so, Eima Seifa, let's continue learning the Mishnah. Naflein Nas Chasim Mimakam Acher, if this person, who we don't know truly his status, now gets assets and he dies, Yirshu Ach of Imai, then all of the brothers are the, and he dies without any other Yarshim, then all of these individuals share in that Yerusha. But ask the Gemara, why should they share in that Yerusha? Hamri, they're saying Lavachunuhu, they're saying he's not our brother. Answers the Gemara, the way we have to understand the Mishnah is Letzricha de Kamar Einon Yoidim. They didn't say we know for sure that he's not our brother. They said we just don't know. So when their father dies, they don't have to share because they say, bring a raya, prove definitively that you are our brother, and we'll give you a share. On the other hand, if he dies, they get a share because one of the brothers is saying he's a brother. And therefore, they're saying, we're going to rely on that brother to share in his Yerusha. Amar Rava. So based on this discussion, Zoysomeris, where we don't know. So what happens? Mana li biyotcha. If I approach somebody and say, you owe me money, v'loyim eni yedeya, and the other one says, potter, v'loyim eni yedeya, and he says, I don't know, will the halacha be potter? We're saying that he's off the hook. But we know that that's not the halacha, says the Gemara, because we know Bari B'Shem and Bari Adif. And if I'm coming to you with a definitive claim that you owe me money, and you say, I don't know, the halacha ought to be that you have to pay. Why here is it different? Answers the Gemara, Abaya, it says Abaya, Lo'ilam Eim Malach Chayiv. Normally, if somebody says, Bari, you owe me money, and the other one says, Shema, I don't know, the halacha is that he's Chayiv. V'shani Hacha, why is our Mishnah different? Our case is somewhat different, where somebody comes to someone else to make a claim on behalf of someone else. That means the person who's making the claim is making a definitive claim, but he's not making a definitive claim on his own behalf. He's making a definitive claim on behalf of someone else. So therefore, in our Mishnah, when the brother is saying for sure that he's a brother, that this individual is a brother, and he's saying it with this definitiveness, with Bari, the other brother could say, well, you are not the person that we have this dentire with. And since you're not the individual that we're having this dentire with, that's why it changes. And I saw that the Paiskim explained that this would be relevant in a case where there's a guarantor to a loan. And people come over to the guarantor and say to the guarantor, you owe the person that you guaranteed for, the loiver for whom you guaranteed has not paid, and therefore you have to pay. And he could claim that, well, you're not the people that I guaranteed for. I guaranteed the loan, but I guaranteed the loan for the loiver. And it's only when the loiver, I know for a fact, is standing here and not paying, does my guarantee kick in. And in the absence of that, the guarantee doesn't apply. The Rambam, when he quotes this halacha, says that if the brothers say that if they brother, as our Gemara says, if the brother had said that this individual is not a brother, and then when this individual dies, he doesn't get a share because he said he's not a brother. Ask the Mishnah Melech that, yes, he said that it's not a brother. But the question still is, ask the Mishnah Melech, that Reuven says that the other brother who's saying he is a brother does agree that this individual who's saying that this person is not my brother is a brother. So why are we following the declaration of the brother who says that this person is not my brother? Why shouldn't follow the declaration of the person who says he is our brother? Says the Maram Rotenberg, that when this person says he's not my brother, he's not just saying that he's not my brother. He's saying much more than that. What he's saying is that I'm being moichel any claims that I have on that brother's estate, and therefore, when he dies, he gets nothing. The Ritva actually says that in such a case, when this brother, who one brother, to make it easy, is admitting he's a brother, and the other brother says he's not a brother, when this unknown individual dies, says the Ritva, his estate would be left, and what we would do is we would leave it in escrow till we are able to make a full-fledged determination, what is and what isn't his status. We learned in the Mishnah, Mesu, that if this person passes away, Yachsu Nechasim Lemkaimam, that the halach is that when this person who's a Safek passes away, that the halach that he gets, the Yerusha, should go to the brother that said that he is a brother. By Rava, what would be the halacha about the Shvach Shafcha Nechasim? This brother had gotten this Yerusha and improved it. Shvach, what about the improvement? Shvach Shafcha Nechasim Mahu. What is the status on that? Explains the Gemara. B'shvach HaMegil Kesfasayim, whatever grew, because this individual made it grow, he worked on the field, it's considered like assets that he yarshin, that the Gemara discussed just now, will the other brothers yarshin those assets or not? And it depends what they had said. Which means assets that improved, not because he improved them, but because they improved by themselves. And the Gemara gives examples. Going duk levolim, a tree that got bigger, arava ask a certain, a land that got more fertile. Mai, what is the halacha on that? Is it considered as part of the assets that the other brothers don't get or they do get? And the Gemara remains with a teiku. Chachamim, as we've learned so many times, made a rule. The divrei shchemara kiksuvim ukmesurim dami, that a shchemara has special rules, and that he doesn't have to make a kinyan, and when he transfers nechasim. And as we've learned, the reason Chazal made this rule is because shloi titrav da'at v'lov. This person is laying in a very, very bad place, and because of that, we are lenient and don't require all the normal halachas of kinyanim to take place. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah Mishmeis, if someone passed away v'nimtza daitki, and the definition of daitki is a tzavos shchimera, and we find that daitki tied onto his body. So the question was, doesn't mean that we treat this document as matanus shchimera, and therefore, since it was matanus shchimera and has all the halachas, or do we say it was really never acted upon? Teaches us the Mishnah, hareza in a klum, it's meaningless. And the Mishnah used the words that this daitiki was found on Yurechai, by his thigh. The Sefer Masa Hashem says that we find that when the Sarah Shal Esav came to do battle with Yaakov, the place where he hit him was the Kaf Yerecha Shal Yaakov. He hit him on the thigh. Why nowhere else? Says the Sefer Masa Ovis. That when Esav sold his Bechor to Yaakov, they made a document. And when they made the document, what the minig then was that the document, to show the seriousness of the document, as we just learned in our Mishnah, was tied to the thigh. And Yaakov took that document that he received from Esav, that proved that Esav had sold the Bechor to Yaakov, and tied it to his thigh. The Sar Shal Esav, which we know Esav has always been so terribly upset about what happened then, Noga B'Kaf Yerecho Shal Yaakov, wanted to make sure that that document should get destroyed and lost, and Yaakov's Avinu claim to the Bechayra should fall away. Says the Mishnah further, but if the Shchimera, while he was still alive, Zicha Bal Acher, if he gave ownership to his asset, he said that if, for example, if the Shchimera wanted to give his assets to Reuven, so he gave the shtar to Shimon, and he said to Shimon, take the shtar on behalf of Reuven. Bein min hayarshim, whether if the person who's supposed to get this gift is a person who's supposed to be a yoirish of the Shchimera, or bein she'enu min hayarshim, or whether he's not one of those individuals, by going through this procedure, then dvarav kayamim. So the Mishnah began speaking about a daitiki. So says the Gemara, Tana Rabbana, is a daitiki? What is the definition of a daitiki? Says the Gemara, the definition of a daitiki is kol shekosaba, where it's written into this document, do tahei kayim umekim liyos. This should be a real transaction. And Rashi and the Rashbam explain what it's really saying is that even though this is not the normal way a kinyan is performed, it's going to be treated differently as a matanas shchimera. The Ramban has a different pshat. One of the unique features of a matanas shchimera is if the shchimera, Baruch Shem, gets better, then all of the declarations that he made fall away. And what the Shchimera is saying is, yes, I'm making this declaration that this person should get my Yerusha, but he's saying, a tefillah, da tehele mekel lechios, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help that I should have a refuah shleima, and by me having a refuah shleima, then this document will become null and void because I'm not a Shchimera. Eze metana, says the Gemara, how is a gift given by a healthy person done? Says the Braisa, we say that he's giving the actual property to whomever he's giving today, and the payris of that property should only be given to the person after he passes away. And as we're going to learn, this was often done, that a father or somebody gave the actual property to the person while he was still alive, but he still needed to live, so he kept the payris for as long as he was alive. Ask the Gemara, Ella, are we to understand the Braisa? That meyoyim lachem misu da'av matana, only when those words are used as a matana, me'achshef the words lo'av matana, why would somebody who says me'achshef, I'm giving a gift today, it's, if anything, it's more of a powerful statement. Amar Abaya, says Abaya Hachakamar, this is the way to understand the Braisa. Eze matanas bari, when do you have a gift that's given by a healthy individual, shehi kematanas shchimera, that the halacha should treat like matanas shchimera, loikani, that he wants to be able to push it off, lachamisa, that it should only be valid, lachamisa, because the halacha is that under normal circumstances, you can't give a gift that it should be effective, lachamisa. unless it's a shchimera. So the way to have that work, even by a healthy person, is by using the words mayoyim lachamisa. There are many reasons why a shchimera gift could be effective lachamisa, as we said, because that's one of the special halachas that was said regarding matana shchimera. But a healthy person who gives a gift cannot make the gift effective after he passes away. And the simple pshat is the way the Rashbam explains, because if you want to get the gift to be effective after you're dead, dead people can't be making transactions. Another explanation that the Rishonim give is that the moment someone passes away, he's no longer the owner of his assets. The Hilchus Yerusha kick in, and whoever the Torah, through the Hilchus Yerusha, identifies as the owner, now becomes the owner. And therefore, something that doesn't belong to you is not something that you could give away, because you're not the owner. Because, and the Tzais explains, because if otherwise, why can't he appoint a shliach to make the transaction after he passes away? And therefore, even though he himself can't do the transaction, as the Rashbam says, he could prevent this problem by appointing a shliach. But now, Sadi's Rishonim explained the Tzais, that he's not the owner. If he's not the owner of those assets, then the halacha would be that would not be a valid. He can't transfer something that he that's not doable. So the other Rishonim explain, we learned very often in Shas that ain't get lachemisa. The halacha often stated in Shas is ain't get lachemisa. So the Rishonim explain, because we didn't want to have any confusion between any document, so just like by get and get lachemisa, so too here will be the halacha that there's no transaction lachemisa. And I did see that the Achroinim debate, why will be the halacha if somebody, while he was still alive, made this shliach, that he should make this transfer after he dies, would it have any halachic validity? Says the Gemara, Yosu Rabbi Baruch Huna, Bechsadu Dibay Rav, Yosu Kamam Shmeid Rabbi Nachman, the Rabbi Yochanan, Shchim Hashem Kisvu V'tenu Mone L'ploini. If somebody said, write the Shchimer, write this document, and give this money to this individual, Umeis, and he passed away before they could do this, and Kaisvin V'noisten, then we don't do what he said. Because Shema, maybe it was the Shchimera's intention that the only way that this transfer should take place was with a shtar, and then shtar lachamisa, and now it's too late. In other words, if the Shchimera is exercising the special halachas that a Shchimera is entitled to, then it would be an effective transaction. But here, he's not exercising. He wants it to go with a regular shtar. If he wants it to go with a regular shtar, so if he wants it to go with a regular shtar, and here the regular shtar, which is like a shtar that a healthy person writes, never was fulfilled. Amar Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar said to the people in the yeshiva, "Is darabu? Be careful what Rabbi Yochanan said. What he's saying is the halacha." Rishizbi Amar Rabbi Elazar Amar. It was Rabbi Elazar who said this halacha, and Rabbi Yochanan was the one that said, "Is darabu? This is the proper psak." It makes sense. The version goes like Rav Shizvi. If we're going to say that it was said by Rabbi Elazar, therefore it's Rabbi Yochanan l'sude alayd Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar needs the support of Rabbi Yochanan to support that this is the halacha. But, he says, Eliyam Rabbi Yochanan Amra, if it was stated by Rabbi Yochanan, it's through Rabbi Elazar, l'sudah leid Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi, Rabbi Elazar was Rabbi Yochanan's Talmud. It's inappropriate and unnecessary that a Rebbe should need the agreement of his Talmud to back up what he said. Void, Toshma, And I'll bring you another raya. The Rabbi Loza Amr says the Gemara that this was stated by Rabbi Loza. The Shalach Ravin. Ravin sent from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel Meshmei de Ravua. Heavy Yoidim. Be aware. The Shalach Rabbi Loza. Rabbi Loza, who lives in Eretz Yisrael, sent the following message. Legoyla to Bavel Meshim Rabbeinu, in the name of Rav. That Shchimer Hashem Kisav Etnu Manu Leploini Umeis. And Kaisav and Eisnen, we don't carry out this transaction, for we need to be concerned. Shem Gamalak Noisa El Bishtar, he only meant to do this transfer with the Shtar, and the Vein Shtar Lachamisa. Rabbi Yochanan says, Tibodik, we have to evaluate what really happened here. So before the Gemara explains what it means that Tibodik, we see that Rabbi Yochanan is not that confident in that this is the halacha. It must be Rabbi Lazar said this halacha. But Rabbi Yochanan said that what we need to do in this circumstance is tibodik, evaluate what happened. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? My tibodik, says the Gemara Kasa Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar, he said two halachas. The first halach, he said, is Daitki Mevatalas Daitki. That if a Shchimera wrote all his assets over in a Daitki to one individual, and then there's another Daitki, that we follow the second Daitki and not the first Daitki. And then he said another halacha, the halach that we're discussing. Shchimera Shama Kusva Tunu Mani Leplani Vemeis, Roim. We have to see exactly what did the Shchimera mean with this statement. If he wanted to just strengthen his statement, then, in other words, and because the Shchimera Kiksuvim Kamsurim Dami, a Shchimera doesn't need any writing to make his transaction be considered halachically valid. Why did he say to write it? He only wanted to strengthen his statement that it should be committed to writing, and therefore will do so. Vimlav, if not, then the halacha is that ein kaisvin. We have to be concerned that what he meant to say was that the transfer of this assets should only take place through a shtar. And if that's what he meant, then we have a problem. Ein shtar achamisa. So we see that that's the tibodik. Masav Ravaba b'mamol. If a healthy person said this statement, the Brisa says, umeis, and he passes away before the shtar can be given over, the halacha is ein kaisvin v'noisnin. Isn't this clearly a proof by a shchimera, even if he made such a statement, kaisvin v'noisnin? Answers the Gemara, hu meisel avu mefarkla, that in that case is b'meyapas koichai. So if the purpose of this statement is just to strengthen the transaction, so by Shchimera, where Allah is the Shchimera, Kiksuvim Kamsurim Dami, and the Shchimera need not do anything more than saying it. And when he's saying writing, he only means to strengthen the transaction. The Allah is that we could write. By a Bari, where there is no such a concept, because if he just said something, it doesn't mean anything, then the Allah is that if it wasn't actually transferred during his lifetime, we have no transaction. Ask the Gemara, Heichidami Miyapas Koichai, under what circumstances do we explain that all he meant to do was strengthen the existing transaction, that he meant to transfer with Divrei Shchimera, and this was just to strengthen, to commit it to writing? Says the Gemara, Kedam Rav Chisda, it depends on the words of the Shtar. If he wrote the kininim in name Moisva Matanos Vadaim, that I'm making this kinyan, I'm making the shtar to strengthen Amatanos on the gift that I've already given, then Hachinami, Damavak Suvach Sumu, that is only to strengthen what's there, and if it's only strengthening what's there, then the halach is that it's considered that the original transaction, which he did with the Divrei Shchimera Kiksuvim Kamsurim Dami, is valid. And that's the way we're going to explain here Damar af ksuva v'chsuma v'chavalei. Itmar, Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, halacha, the halacha is that if he made a transfer by saying, Divrei Shchemira, by saying what he said, and then he said, Tnu v'af kisvu, so it's clear that all he wanted to accomplish with the writing was just to strengthen the existing transaction, and then the halacha would be that we could follow these instructions, and it won't be concerned that the transaction is a lacha misa, kaisu v'noisman, v'kayin amarava amarav nachman, halacha kaisu v'noisman.